Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Text 13 of Canto 1, Chapter 12.
Tasya prita mana raja.
Tasya prita mana raja.
Nipraya domya kripa dibihi.
Nipraya domya kripa dibihi.
Jatakam karayam asa.
Jatakam karayam asa.
Vachayit vacha mangalam.
Vachayit vacha mangalam.
Tasya prita mana raja. Vipraya
daumya kripa dibihi.
Jatakam karayam asa. Vachayit vacha mangalam.
Translation. King Yudhisthira, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, had the purificatory process of birth performed. Learned Brahmanas headed by Daumya and Kripa recited the auspicious hymns. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is a need for a good and intelligent class of Brahmanas who are expert in performing the purificatory processes prescribed in the system of Varnashram Dharma. Unless such purificatory processes are performed, there is no possibility of good population. And in the age of Kali, the population all over the world is of Shudra quality or lower for want of this purificatory process. It is not possible, however, to revive the Vedic process of purification in this age for want of proper facilities and good brahmanas. But there is the Pancharatrika system also recommended for this age. The Pancharatrika system acts on the Shudra class of men, supposedly the population of the Kali Yuga, and it is the prescribed purificatory process suitable to the age and time. Such a purificatory process is allowed only for spiritual upliftment and not for any other purpose. Spiritual upliftment is never conditioned by higher or lower parentage. Paragraph. Long purport. After the Garbhadhan purificatory process, there are certain other sangskaras, like Simanto Nayana, Sadha Bhakshana, etc., during the period of pregnancy, and when the child is born, the first purificatory process is one that's being performed here, Jata Karma. This was performed duly by Maharaj Yudhisthira with the help of good and learned brahmanas like Daumya, the royal priest, and Kripacharya, who was not only a priest but also a great general. Both these learned and perfect priests, assisted by other good brahmanas, were employed by Maharaj Yudhisthira to perform the ceremony. Therefore, all the sangskaras, purificatory processes, are not mere formalities or social functions only, but they are for practical purposes and can be successfully performed by expert brahmanas like Daumya and Kripa. Such brahmanas are not only rare, but also not available in this age, and therefore, for the purpose of spiritual upliftment in the fallen age, the Goswamis preferred the purificatory processes under Pancharatrika formulas to the Vedic rites. We'll come back and revisit that statement. And final paragraph. Kripacharya is the son of a great rishi, Sardban, and was born in the family of Gotama. The birth is said to be accidental. By chance, the great rishi Sardban met Janapadi, a famous society girl of heaven, and the rishi Sardban discharged semen in two parts. By one part, immediately a male child, and by the other part, a female child, were born as twins. The male child was later on known as Kripa, and the female child was known as Kripi. Maharaj Santanu, while engaged in chase in the jungle, picked up the children and brought them to the brahminical status by proper purificatory process. Kripacharya later became a great general like Dronacharya, and his sister was married to Dronacharya. Kripacharya later on took part in the Battle of Kurukshetra and joined the party of Duryodhana. Kripacharya helped kill Abhimanyu, the father of Maharaj Parikshit, but he was still held in esteem by the family of the Pandavas due to his being as great a brahmana as Dronacharya. When the Pandavas were sent to the forest after being defeated in the gambling game with Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra entrusted the Pandavas to Kripacharya for guidance. After the end of the battle, Kripacharya again became a member of the royal assembly, and he was called during the birth of Maharaj Parikshit for recitation of auspicious Vedic hymns to make the ceremony successful. Maharaj Yudhisthira, while quitting the palace for his great departure to the Himalayas, entrusted Kripacharya with Maharaj Parikshit as his disciple, and he left home satisfied because of Kripacharya's taking charge of Maharaj Parikshit. The great administrators, kings, and emperors were always under the guidance of learned brahmanas like Kripacharya, and thus were able to act properly in the discharge of political responsibilities. Very fascinating, huh? Tasya Pritamana Raja Vipriyar Domya Kripadibhi Jatakam Karayam Asa Vachayit Vacha Mangalam. King Yudhisthira, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, had a purificatory process of birth performed. Learned brahmanas, headed by Domya and Kripa, recited auspicious hymns. Om Agyana Timarandasya Tananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Tena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I think I'll begin with repeating more briefly a kind of a preamble or introductory presentation of the importance of this section, because the previous section, which we discussed, was the exhibition of Krishna's quality as Bhakta Vatsala and his great affection and desire to give protection to the great devotee Maharaj Parikshit. So everybody knew, even before he was born, wow, he's a great devotee. He's favored by the personality of Godhead. an invincible Brahmastra weapon was sent by Ashwatthama to kill him, and he was protected by the Lord himself. And the various reciprocations of how that works, we heard all that discussion. So as that ends, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, little research, he was 10 months within the womb when that happened, which means, according to normal standards, the conscious state of the child was revived, meaning the first number of months. Of course, the numbers are a little different, but the susupti state of deep sleep is over for the child in the womb, and then they become conscious and really uncomfortable and wish to get out. So he was conscious when he saw the personality of Godhead, and he knew it was the personality of Godhead. He knew the protection that he was receiving, and it, one can imagine the ecstasy of knowing that the favor of the Supreme Lord being extended in that way, or at all, particularly focused on Maharaj Parikshit. So then comes the next section, which is the birth. And the bigger question, or let's say topic, is, according to the description of our acharyas, a thoughtful person will want to know, as it's directly stated in this purport, how can people of this age of Kali, just as Vyasadeva wanted the well-being of people in the age of Kali to have shelter, so he provided Srimad Bhagavatam as the shelter of religious principle, the direct glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but following that, for the people in general, there must be some social standard of how they function. And that social standard is the Varnashram system, Daivi Varnashram system, not the other one. And there must be qualified Brahmanas and qualified Kshatriyas for that to happen. So we're hearing, this is repeating from yesterday, but we're hearing in this section the qualified Kshatriya coming up as the glorification of him, or the pronouncement by the great astrologers who are foretelling what this child's life will be like in his adult mature stage. So there's the qualified Kshatriya, and then there's a qualified Brahmana. Both are needed to take a soul born even in this age of Kali to the stage of elevation, to the stage of the platform of the Pandavas, who completely absorbed in thought of the personality of Godhead, went back to Godhead. So how can the rest of society come to that position? It is a natural question, and it's being addressed. The hearing and chanting process, as I was using the metaphor, the pin with the point of the pin, and then the shaft of the pin that follows the point of the pin, that goes into the fabric of life. How to structure things. There must be qualified Brahmana and qualified leader, not only king, but others who are also giving leadership to others, and how to help them become qualified. So the purificatory process we're hearing in the purport is necessary. I'll just read the first sentence again. There is a need for a good and intelligent class of Brahmanas who are expert in performing the purificatory processes prescribed in the system of Varnashram. Unless such purificatory processes are performed, there is no possibility of good population. And you need good population to have a good society. But people don't observe those purificatory processes in society in general. And therefore, even amongst the families of Brahmanas, failing to observe anyone who is a Brahmana knows this, without the sangskaras, that's not the life of a brahmana, just by birth, without the sangskaras. Sangskaras are essential, even where birth is there. So now what about the society, the plight of society where that doesn't happen? What to do? So Prabhupada is explaining, the Goswamis then preferred not this, because there's two systems, the Vedic system or Vaidika system and the Panchratrika system, which is equally Vedic and most suited for this age. We're followers of the Panchratrika system as the Goswamis gave it to us. Specifically, Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave it to us. And as it's a little history, we all know the history, but he was the son of Venkata Bhatta, and as a small boy, how old are you? 5 and a half. Yeah? How old? Five. Gopal was 6 when Lord Chaitanya came to visit and stayed for 4 months in his home. 4 months. His name is Gauranga. Gauranga, he stayed in the home of Gopal for 4 months. 4 months. And day and night and day and night and night and day and day and night, he was with Lord Chaitanya, hearing from Lord Chaitanya, serving Lord Chaitanya, absorbing the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya. And so he was so familiar with hearing from Lord Chaitanya. He knew the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Even he was a small boy, he was uniquely qualified. So he assimilated that. And then when he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya said, no, you stay and serve your parents. He did that, but he then, being the son of the chief priest, Venkata Bhatta, he had access to all kinds of things that most people don't have access to, like all the procedures, not only for deity worship, but all the rituals that priests follow, the followers of the Sri Sampradaya follow. He knew everything. But he also knew the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So he then took those procedures combined with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and provided, specific to what's in the purport here, the larger work is Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is a how-to manual of performing rituals. And then Sat Kriya Deepika is specific to the sangskaras. And I'm not a scholar in any of this, but I've read the introduction to Sat Kriya Deepika, which explains like this. Largely what Gopal Bhatta did was he took the mantras that are from the Samaveda, where such rituals are also presented, and wherever there's names of devatas, he replaced those names of devatas with names of the Lord or intimate associates of the Lord. I'm not a scholar of those things. That's what the introductory says. And then, knowing what the Sri Vaishnava tradition did, knowing Lord Chaitanya's practices, he took it upon himself to establish procedures for these that are the Panchratrika system. He knew the Panchratrika system, he knew the Vaidika system, and he produced what we now utilize. Those of you, or those that may go to the Mayapur Academy, maybe you don't know what that is, there's a course that goes for 4 months, and I know some devotees from here are attending that course. Radhika Raman and his wife are attending. And each of the 4 months, they teach 4 different things for a whole month. And one of them is the rituals. Then there's deity worship and cooking. But the first thing is Brahminical standards for a whole month. Not, you know, guesswork, but according to scriptural teachings for a whole month, there's a whole curriculum of what's the quality of a brahmana. And then how to cook for Krishna. How to, the third month is performing, that's the month they're doing right now. How to do what's described here, according to the Sat Kriya Deepika procedures, all the mantras and everything. Given initially the cleanliness and truthfulness and the other samadhamaktapakshocham. It's very nice. Very nice. And personally, I'm a little surprised at how many devotees can take out 4 months of their big chunk of their life and just go do that. But some do that. Something around 30 to 40 people are there enrolled. Maybe it's more, I don't know. That's my impression. So they're learning these Sat Kriya Deepika of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, how to do the rituals. And it has, so maybe a month ago, I was asked to attend the first grain ceremony, and one devotee who knows these procedures did the procedure, and I was asked to speak, what's the role? Here it is. What's the role of such purificatory processes for members of the Hare Krishna movement, for ISKCON? It has its role. It's not something that Prabhupada put in the beginning. What he put in the beginning was really simple. Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam. A little philosophy. Not too much. And then gradually he taught Krishna consciousness in the kitchen. Therefore it was sometimes called the kitchen religion. Not just because we like distributing prasadam, but the standards. Prabhupada was, what was out in the temple room with kirtan and class and stuff was one thing. In the kitchen, strict. Strict. Like, strict. Why? Because this is going to be offered to Krishna. So it wasn't everybody that was allowed in the kitchen. I mean, people could cut vegetables outside the kitchen. Like, anyway, without all the detail. He trained the devotees in the consciousness of doing intimate service for Krishna, which is what brahminical service is, intimate service for Krishna, and standards of cleanliness, the standards of speech, the standards of everything that make up brahminical life. That's how he did it. Now, forward over time, we have many temples with many deities, and who knows what the standards are that are out there. So here's a course. Not everybody can take it, but I know that there's a nice young couple from Portland, Oregon. Husband, wife, and a small child. They're there for 4 months to learn the whole system. And guess what? They found out that what's going on in their temple is way substandard because nobody knew. Now they know. Now how to bring it up to standard. So anyway, that's a discussion I'm going to have when I go to Mayapur. It has its role in ISKCON. The point of the pin and the shaft of the pin. The brahmanas are very important. Vaishnavas are superlatively important. And amongst the Vaishnavas, some are Vaishnava brahmanas. And as Prabhupada is saying, some, not all the population of ISKCON needs to know all these rituals. But some need to know these rituals. How to do them in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, specifically as followers of ISKCON, we're within the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how it is to be done? And it brings purification. It's, you know, that this bigger question of how do you take an uncivilized population and bring them to the point of Arjuna and the Pandavas? Big challenge. Big challenge. So it has its place. And here specifically, now this is not back to the Bhagavatam, this is not ISKCON, this is the Royal Assembly. And they were very concerned about performing these purificatory processes, like Prabhupada writes, not, it says it so nicely, not for mere formality or for a social function. You know, there's a ceremony and people like to go to the ceremony and they do some social thing together. But it's a religious social thing. And then, you know, the talk isn't always about religious social. It's about all kinds of other things. That's not the purpose. He says it twice. One is, he says it for practical purpose. What's the practical purpose? To elevate society to good population. That's the practical purpose. And it's not just a ritual. It has efficacy in part because names of the Supreme Lord, and in that juncture between this and that, because that's what sangskaras are, in that space when the soul is moving from one situation to the next situation of life, in this case from within the womb of the mother to out of the womb of the mother, and the cutting of the umbilical cord, and you know, to now receiving nourishment in a different way than previously, to that beginning is made auspicious by the invoking of the mantras. Mangala is the word in the verse, creating that auspiciousness for the soul's journey from one position to the next position. Ultimately, the Vaishnava purpose is the soul's achieving shelter of the personality of Godhead. So to make that transition auspicious and transcendentally auspicious, not the other kind of auspicious, so that there's material prosperity and so forth. For spiritual upliftment. So again, Prabhupada says, the purpose of spiritual upliftment in this fallen age, not otherwise, is the purpose. And our Goswamis preferred the Pancharatrika system. So then, who did it? That's also in the verse. Vipraya Domya Kripa Adibihi. Domya Kripa Adibihi. These two were leading, and then Adibihi and others were assisting them. So there's a little biography of Kripacharya's life. It's a mini, so just expand it a little bit. Shardvan was the grandson of Gotama Rishi. Gotama Rishi is, everyone knows Gotama Rishi, very exalted Brahmana. But when Shardvan was born, in his hand were arrows. Not ordinary. So it was understood he has this capacity, Dhanurved. And he was as he was growing up, he was much less interested in studying of the Vedas than he was in studying Dhanurveda. And he became very, very focused on all skills related to warfare, and particular was his fascination with archery. And he became very powerful in that area of Brahminical knowledge. So much so that Indra became nervous. Uh-oh, maybe he's got a plan to take over heaven. He does it like again and again. So he sent an apsara to go, entice this sage who was a celibate sage at the time, living in the forest. And her name was Janapadi. So she was moving through the forest where Shardvan was, and he never saw such beauty. And although he controlled himself, he didn't do anything. He didn't approach her or anything like that. But he discharged semen that fell on the ground, and it fell into two parts. Specifically, it's described two clumps of grass. And right there, a male child and a female child appeared. No womb of a mother was involved. And he was embarrassed, and he left. Santanu happened to come through the forest, and he saw these two children lying in the forest. He could understand, somehow, it doesn't say how, but he could understand. They're exceptional children, and he brought them back to the palace, and he had the purificatory rituals for brahmanas to be performed for them, and they began to grow as brahmanas within his court. Shardvan later came to know, these my two children are in Santanu's court. So he came and he instructed them in the Vedas, but specifically in the skill of warfare. So Kripa had that training from his father, who was born with arrows in his hand. So he was very skilled. And later, Kripa became part of the royal family, you know, in Dhritarashtra's, then, you know, following Santanu and all of those historical changes, Pandu and so forth. He trained them in, as did Drona, because Drona married his sister, Kripi. Anyway, there's a long Mahabharata description of how Drona also became part of the royal family's brahminical trainers of the sons in the royal family learning military skill. We hear largely about Drona, but Kripa also was one of their principal trainers in this regard. Then fast forward in time, and the Kurukshetra battle takes place, and what a difficult spot to be in. Anyway, Drona and Kripa fought on the side of Duryodhana, in part because there was a dharmic principle they were being maintained, as was Bhishma, being maintained by the royal family, so that dharmic principle bound them to be on the side of Dronacharya, or the Kauravas. And in that position, he did a number of bad things. So one of them is mentioned. He was one of the generals that they ganged up on this 16-year-old boy against the codes of Dharma and killed him, Abhimanyu. But not only that, another incident that's mentioned is that after the Kurukshetra battle was completed, Kripa was involved in a burning of the camp. They started a fire amongst the Pandavas' camp in the middle of the night, like, you know, larceny, or what do you call it? Huh? Larceny? Starting fire to destroy the Pandavas. And as people left, then they were killed. Very, very bad. Very bad. During their incognito 1 year, Kripacharya, on behalf of Duryodhana, was in charge of sending spies to find out where they were. He did some bad things. How did the Pandavas, headed by Yudhisthira, regard him? They accepted him. Even he did some bad things. Why? It's specifically mentioned here. Due to his being a great Brahmana. As a great Brahmana, he did some things that a great Brahmana doesn't do. But something like, not only he was a Brahmana, he was a devotee. We have that verse, apichetsu duracharo bhajate mamana nyabak sadureva samant, because he was, well, brahminically, properly situated, although some things were unbrahminical, not to be done, and he did them. But so how did the Pandavas regard Kripa? Yudhisthira regarded him as a qualified Brahmana. And he accepted him after the Kurukshetra battle was over, just as with Domya, he accepted him into the royal family, being guided by him, and entrusted the name-giving ceremony. You need qualified people to do such things, not just somebody that knows the mantras. Persons with quality. He recognized he had such quality. Again, when it was time for Yudhisthira to leave to the Himalayas along with his brothers and go back to Godhead, he entrusted Maharaj Parikshit, as a young man now, turned him over to Kripacharya and made him his student or his disciple. That much trust, even with some bad things. So, what does that tell us? Same as what Krishna says. Even if there's some bad things, durachar, sudurachar. How do we regard some person that has durachar or sudurachar? If you're a follower of Bhagavad Gita or a follower of the Pandavas who are followers of Krishna, you regard that person with great respect and never disrespect, although one could say they had reason for disrespect. They could take shelter of the spot on the moon or the bad behavior and, you know, fan attention over to the bad behavior. They didn't do that. It's very telling. This is Kali Yuga, where over nothing people criticize. Nothing. Prabhupada writes about it in the Bhagavatam, between China and India, a war over uninhabitable land. Nearly a big war over nothing. This is the age of Kali. Over nothing, people quarrel. What to speak of the internet? You know, it's just like, it's romper room for people that are uncontrolled in their minds. And they're you know, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. They have nothing but time to go vilify this and that and the other thing. And my dear devotees, please protect yourselves. Don't utilize and don't go looking around the internet for what's out there. What are people saying about, you know, who's bad? Oh, I found a juicy one. Who's bad? It's very offensive. It's very self-damaging. It's the exact opposite of what is being described here in verse 13 of Canto 1, Chapter 12. The Pandavas are exemplars. They're teachers by example of how we should conduct ourselves. And the Bhagavatam is supporting it. And our commentator, Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, is supporting it. There's no emphasis on, although there was knowledge of the wrong, they overlooked the wrong and entrusted the next emperor of the world to that person. It's a strong message. And now, you know, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, the Hare Krishna movement. How do we... What's the social structure that we use? The Bhagavatam is giving us that teaching. We should follow the Bhagavatam. And there's this point of the pin, you know, the Bhagavat Dharma, the hearing and chanting. Those who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord, those persons are never to be offended. Sadhuninda. And then the social structure. We need, I mean, for the welfare of society, in the bigger picture of things, we need qualified people. And the standards of the qualification are indicated, especially as we go on, you know, not just this one verse, but the whole, say, the first canto of the Bhagavatam tells us very clearly the qualifications of a Kshatriya and the qualifications of a Brahmana. And who has all those qualifications? Maharishi Parikshit has, as a Kshatriya. Even he did something bad. His dealing with Shamakrishi. That was unique. That was inspired by Krishna from within his heart, not like when we make mistakes. So we can't equate ourselves to that. But who has the qualifications? Who can say they were a Brahmastra weapon was coming at them while within the womb and Krishna protected them? And he gave his darshan. I mean, it's unique. But there are standards that we should see and strive for, and standards of Brahminical culture that we should see and strive for, and even there may be some mistake or whatever it is, some shortcoming in this category, that category. See, what do you look for? You see the essence of the person who is deeply absorbed in hearing and chanting, and by character is exhibiting the qualities of a Brahmana and the qualities of a Kshatriya, etc. That's the point of the pin. And that's where our attention goes, the essential character of an individual. I hope it's clear. Very instructive for, you know, the modern world in which we live, in the age of Kali, where that which is good gets destroyed, or at least the attempt is to destroy it, by the symptoms of the age of Kali, the quarrel tendency, fault-finding tendency, arguing tendency, fighting tendency. It's the influence of Kali. And there's a shelter beyond that. Just a last point about Kripacharya. In the Mahabharata, there's one verse that identifies there are seven principal Chiranjivas, like Vyasa is one of them. Chiran means they live for a long time, like beyond just, you know, a normal lifetime. They live for a long time. They live for beyond the whole duration of Kali Yuga and into the next Satya Yuga. They're going to assist in bringing Satya Yuga after Kalki Avatar comes and takes care of the bad population. They'll begin Satya Yuga. He's one of them, Kripacharya, despite these, you know, discrepancies, or whatever one might want to call them. Because his core, his essence, is true Brahminical quality. Not just by birth, but by his quality. So any comments or questions? Yes.
Pandavas were accepting Kripacharya, though he was involved in killing of Abhimanyu and all.
Yes.
I've just seen on YouTube one of the seminars that you conducted in January 16th and 17th on forgiveness and justice. and there were speakers, and I've benefited immensely from learning from that. But my question pertinent to this point is, how do we at Kanishta Adhikari stage and neophyte stage, because they were, Pandavas were
elevated and we're not.
So at Kanishta stage, how do we forgive and be what is our approach, and what is the level at which Madhyamadhikaris look at, and what is the level at which Kanishta Adhikaris and neophytes look at?
It's a complicated, it's an involved question, it's an important question. We're enjoined to not imitate. We're enjoined to follow. So in the Kanishta stage, what's important is the material configuration of things. It's prakriti, or materialistic, or neophyte, Kanishta. We're advised to, just as Krishna does in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when you see this feature, that feature of duality, what does Krishna advise? Tolerate it. Tolerate it means you don't invest consciousness in this feature versus that feature of duality. This is a Kanishta recommendation. There's duality. There's something, according to my estimation, my paradigm, this is good and that's bad. Recognizing, I'm not really so qualified to make that evaluation. Let me instead invest my consciousness rather than in the value that I think is good and feeling bad about the thing that is I think is bad. Let me restrain myself from that program and invest my consciousness in Sat. Sat means that which is eternal. And for us, access to Sat starts with chanting and hearing. Let me absorb myself in receiving with faith the knowledge of the scripture from a qualified source. Starting with the Bhaktivedanta purports, but then a teacher who can elucidate and show by example what the Bhaktivedanta purports are, and by their life they exemplify it. Let me invest in that. Withdraw from asat, invest in sat, and by the standard that I just indicated, those are some of the sat principles that I can purposely, consciously invest consciousness in, and tolerate the other. It's wait a while, and the configuration of duality is going to change. It may get darker, it may get lighter, who can say? But it's going to change, that's for sure. Let me invest in sat. And that's in the Kanishta stage. Because I don't have the qualification. I'd be very foolish to get on my horse and start, riding, proclaiming this is good and that's bad, as people will sometimes do. That's Kanishta. Kali Yuga Kanishta at that. And that may be going on around you, and just, you tolerate that and invest in Sat. And in the association of those who are interested in Sat, cultivate that. Does that help? Anything else? Okay. We'll go greet the deities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.